Welcome to the Detroit Party Podcast. My name is Mark Warzeck, and I'm the executive producer of Laugh on Behalf. Laugh on Behalf is an all-volunteer organization, and our mission is to put on live comedy shows to benefit existing nonprofit organizations. And this show that we produced in coordination and collaboration with the Detroit Creativity Project. And I have here with me from the Detroit Creativity Project, one of the co-founders, my friend, Mark Evan Jackson.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mark Evan Jackson. We started the Detroit Creativity Project a couple of years ago. My wife, Beth Hagenlocker, and I founded it as a way to bridge the gap for lost arts funding in Detroit. Mark and I are both giant believers in the arts and especially in the world of improvisation, and it's something that we know can benefit students of all walks of life, but especially a place that means a lot to us, which is the city of Detroit and the students there. So we began with the Detroit Creativity Project, specifically the Improv Project, offering free of charge improv classes to middle and high school students in Detroit. In success, we will do more. We will offer various programs like filmmaking, fine arts, painting, fashion, playwriting, etc. But we need your help to do so. So please, if you have a moment, check out www.detroitcreativityproject.org. And thank you for listening to this podcast.
We held this event together called the Detroit Party. It took place in Hollywood in the fall of 2013. And we're going to take you into this live event in just a few moments, but we kind of want to set the stage for you. We held the event at this great venue called King King. It's right on Hollywood Boulevard, right in the heart of Hollywood.
A lot of famous music acts get their start there. It's a mid-sized venue, and it was exciting for Mark and for me to put on this event because we sort of put feelers out there and said, hey, if we threw a Detroit-themed party in Hollywood, California, would people come? And boy, did people come. Mm-hmm. We had Better Made Chips and Sanders Hot Fudge and Faygo and Verner's. And a lot of celebrities came out to check it out as well.
Yeah, we had a red carpet there at the event, and Fred Willard was there, who's of course known from his fantastic legendary comedy career. He's in WALL-E and The Modern Family and so many great shows. J.K. Simmons, who was probably best known for playing the boss at the newspaper agency at the Spider-Man movies.
He was playing J. Jonah Jameson. He's also known as the dad from Juno. He's a Detroit native. He grew up on the east side over by the Caju Cafe. I think he's probably best known for being my boss in the Farmers Insurance commercials.
and also our friend Larry Joe Campbell, who's originally from Cadillac, Michigan, lived in Detroit for a long time, went to Wayne State University, and of course, starred along with Jim Belushi on According to Jim on ABC for, I think, 7 seasons.
Now, long before the second edition of the Anchorman movie came out, and it was revealed that Mort Krim, legendary Detroit Anchorman Mort Krim, was the inspiration for Will Ferrell's character, we had Mort do some videos for us. So in part of what you'll hear tonight are some Mort Krim videos, but also one of the big videos teeing up was Academy Award winner.
Mm-hmm. Academy Award winner Ellen Burstyn made a special welcome video. She's a native Detroiter as well. She made a special welcome video for everyone at the Detroit Party. Let's take a listen.
Good evening. I'm Ellen Burstyn, and I'm a native Detroiter, welcoming you to the Detroit Party, benefiting the Detroit Creativity Project. I understand you're in for quite an evening. I attended Cass Tech High School myself, and it just warms my heart to think of you all gathered there together tonight, brought there by your love for the city of Detroit. The thing that I think is really special about Detroit is that magnificent museum. The Detroit Institute of Arts is one of the greatest museums in the world, and I've really traveled a lot and been to an awful lot of them. And I tell you, the Detroit Institute of Art is really great. It's special. Don't let them take it away from you. The thing I miss most about Detroit, if you want to know the truth, is Verner's Ginger Ale and Sanders Hot Fudge. When I think of my childhood, I think of Verner's floats, with the vanilla ice cream in it. Mm, Good. I'm going with my mother downtown to Sanders for Hot Fudge Sunday. Fondest memories. Thank you for supporting the Detroit Creativity Project. I hope you have a wonderful time.
That, of course, was Academy Award winner Ellen Burstyn, who allowed us into her home on the Upper West Side of New York City to record that. We thank her for that. What you're about to hear now is a recording from legendary anchorman from WDIV Channel 4 in Detroit, Mort Krim. And this was a video that that we asked him to do, and he actually went further than we thought he might.
I'm Mort Krim. Good evening, and welcome to the Detroit Party, presented by Laugh on Behalf and benefiting the Detroit Creativity Project. You're in for an evening of great entertainment. It warms my heart to think that you're all gathered here tonight, brought together by your love for the city of Detroit. It's a love you talk about frequently, but apparently not a love strong enough to keep you living in Detroit. No, you prefer to love your hometown from the safe distance of, where is that again? Oh, yeah, Los Angeles. But I don't care. I live in Florida. I'm sorry I can't join you in Los Angeles tonight. Instead, I'll be spending my evening drinking a cocktail of Verner's mixed with Faygo Red Pop, eating Better Made chips dipped in Sanders Hot Fudge, and watching RoboCop 2 on a DVD loop. But please have fun anyway. I'm Mort Krim, reminding you to eat Better Made chips dipped in Sanders Hot Fudge. I wish you a wonderful evening, and thank you for loving Detroit.
Thank you for that, Mort Krim. The Detroit Creativity Project is a not-for-profit charity that benefits children. The podcast, on the other hand, this show that we did, is not necessarily for children. So if you have children listening, this might be the point at which you want to distract them with something shiny.
You know, we held the event in King King. It's a bar. People were drinking and having a great time, but 21 and up. So the podcast is, you know, roughly for that same age range.
It's not filthy, but it is definitely for an adult audience. You know who is filthy? Mary Lynn Rice Cub.
That's true. And she's next up here. Mary Lynn Rice Cub is originally from, she was born in Detroit. She was raised in Trenton, Michigan. And she is one of the stars of Fox's 24, this mm-hmm. huge hit show, 24. She played Chloe on that show and will be again, as it's, I know it's coming back soon. And she performed some stand-up comedy for us at the Detroit Party.
Totally had like a Miley Robin thick work. Moment, but I didn't take it that far. But you could feel it, you know.
Good.
His improv training told him to go stiffer, and then I was doing that borderline. Guys, what's going on? Oh my God! Trenton, Michigan, downriver. Anybody? I expect there to be a fight between the people who are from north of Detroit and south of Detroit in the house. You guys are all from north of Detroit. Fuck you all. Fuck you. Ever been to the Gibraltar Trade Center? I don't fucking think you have. Not like I have, okay? Hey guys. What's going on? A lot of people have been doing stand-up lately. And a lot of people recognize me from the show 24, which is weird, because it's not really such a funny show, right? It's not so funny.
Not at all.
Thank you. So are you. And I play, for those of you that don't know the show 24, I play a computer genius who can save the world from a terrorist attack by using your computer. And I can't really do that. Aww. So I'm sorry. You can put your gadget away, or I can't fix it for you. I've never hacked into any governmental files, nor have I stopped a nuclear bomb using a computer. In fact, every time I was on that show and like all the shit was going down, really what I was doing on that computer was typing affirmations. So I'd be like, I'm on it. You look really pretty today, Mary Lynn. You're doing a really good job acting. Keep up the good work. I'm going as fast as I can. Damn it. Don't take Kiefer's intensity so personally. He really does like you. He's just acting. The other characters would come over, hoping to see the Hackton governmental files. They would just see, "You are a divine child of God. Love and light surround you always. Angels and unicorns. Don't forget to DVR Oprah Super Soul Sunday. With Brene. I took a chance with that one." Aha, you watched it. Iyanla fixed my life. I love a good affirmation. God don't make no junk. Oh, I tell myself that in the morning. I love you so much, because God don't make no junk. It feels good, you know? It feels good. Except if you think about it too much, because then you're like, that's fucking stupid. Because God do make junk. And that's improper English. But I use that kind of stuff. I've been traveling a lot lately, and it's like when you're in the airport, and it's just crappy now. Like, it's not fun at all to go to the airport, except my 5-year-old son is the best. He's like, I love it. I love the securities, and I like to stay up past my bedtime. Fucking kids. But the other day I was at the airport, and I just tried to tell myself, like, you're gonna have a good trip, you're gonna have a good trip, you know, just to... And then weird stuff happens. Like, I hear this voice, and she's like, right this way, assume the position. And it's that TSA agent with their wand, and I'm just like, ugh, not in the mood for that. So it takes me at least an hour to warm up to the wand. Am I right, ladies? I'm talking about the penis. What? It's my club act, you guys. I tour the country doing this. And then you guys are like, no way, warm up to the wand, that means a penis. Or should I say guys, right? Because we don't like it when you stick it in us. When you surprise us with it, it's jarring. I don't know it's there, and then all of a sudden you're like, like, don't do that, you know? Ask us if we like a pina colada or getting caught in the rain. Anybody? 30-year-old song reference? Oh, I love a late 70s, like, up jam love song. Do you like pina coladas? Room for the lady to answer right in the song. Well, yes, I do. They're kind of sweet, so I'll switch after the first one. Or getting caught in the rain. Well, do I have an umbrella? Do you like making love at midnight? Well, am I up already? Like, am I up doing stuff? Or... am I asleep and you're surprising me with it? Because then, no, I don't like it. I don't know why you guys think it's cool. You're like, I would like to be spooned. Nada. How many times do I have to say it? And you're like, oh, look who's up. Like, you feel like a man, like you're going to get extra points for, like, just shoving it in. No, you get less points. Guys, listen to me. Don't turn away. I knew you wouldn't. Come on. I do that in Louisville, Kentucky. And they're like, oh my God. I know you're too big for that here. You're like, I'm in Hollywood, man. I put my penis wherever I want to. Put it in there. I'm not gonna look away from you. I have a child. It's the most amazing thing that ever happened to me. Thank you very much. Did not always feel that way about it. I wasn't one of those girls that was like, oh, I can't wait to have a kid. I was like, I can wait. My friend was pregnant, and she, you know, it's always like, oh, isn't this really cute? And she showed me, like, her little, those socks, you know. She's like, isn't this cute? I'm like, yeah, it's cute. Look at how these socks are. Aren't they cute? Yeah, it's cute. Aren't they really cute? No, they're fucking stupid. Why? Why does the little baby need those socks? They barely have any feet. Just wrap it in a blanket and call it a day. Don't make me say that shit is cute. I need to know now. So, yeah. I just like to have a good time, you know what I mean? Why you're laughing at that? I can have a good time and go to bed at 10 p.m. Last night, I swear to God, I took a little nap at 9 p.m. for 20 minutes. I need to know now. I'm excited to be out of the house. Yeah, I like to have a good time, but you know what happens when you have too good of a time? You get knocked up, so it's kind of a catch-22. I got myself knocked up. My husband, I met him at the Improv. I was performing. He was in the audience. He thought... Did someone just say wow over there? I didn't mishear that. It was like a really sarcastic, like, wow. And I was like, is that in my head? That sounds like my own voice. Let's talk later. Because you sound like me talking to me. Thank you for that. Wow. Bloomington. Bloomfield Hills. Never go back to Detroit. I'm going back this Christmas, you guys. Going back this Christmas. All right. What was I talking about? I did not want to have kids. Getting knocked up. Oh, so I'm performing at the Improv. My now husband's in the audience, right? 9 years younger than me. Super handsome. Thank you. Yeah. Pants down, hat like that, like so handsome, I thought he's gay. I was just like, oh God, just that kind of, and he comes up to me afterwards like, hey, can I get your number? And I was so flustered, I was just like, oh really, you want my number? You want my number? And I said it once to him verbally and then drove away. So he calls me, and then 3 months later I was pregnant. I need to know now. I need to know now. And randomly, this is off track, I get off stage, but I was thinking about Carlos Leon, the guy that Madonna picked to have her baby. I can't get sidetracked, but I was like thinking, I fucking pulled a Madonna. But I stayed married to the guy, and I would, never mind, it's a rabbit hole I can't get into. So, knocked up. Right? Baby comes out of me. C-section. And when you have a C-section, you're out of it. Someone's holding your baby, right? I'm like, oh my God, is that it? That's the baby? Oh, okay. I don't like it. Yeah, I do not care about that. What's it doing? Is there a receipt or something? Because I don't... What do you want me to do with that? Oh, take it home and keep it alive? All right. Let me get right on that. I don't really have an ending. That goes into like a whole other thing. I love you guys. Good night.
That was Detroit native and star of Fox's 24, Mary Lynn Rice Cub. I should have said friend of mine. She's also a friend of mine. Thank you for that. If you're enjoying what you're hearing and you are interested in the arts and supporting children and children in Detroit, please do go to www.detroitcreativityproject.org and donate. The smallest donation, $5, $10, does make a difference. The bulk of our funds go straight to sending artists into schools to share their crafts, and we thank you for your support.
Our next act, we're going to take you back into the Detroit party in just a moment with our next act, The Black Version. Mm. The Black Version is an absolute sensation here in Los Angeles. They perform regularly at the Groundlings Comedy Theater, and they do a hilarious improvised show.
They take an established movie, a movie that we all know and could, you know, largely recite the plot to. And they do the black version of that movie. And in tonight's performance, the suggestion they received from the audience was the movie Rocky.
Yes, it was Rocky. And so they decided that, you know, what they wanted to do with it is, instead of Rocky, the lead character would be called Busta. And he's in Detroit working on the line at Ford.
Not Philadelphia. Right.
Right.
Yes.
And so we had a fantastic cast here. The you know, the black version was created by Jordan Black, and the cast that we had for the Detroit Party was Cedric Yarborough and Gary Anthony Williams from the Boondocks. We had Danielle Gaither from Mad TV, Naima Funk from CW's Whose Line Is It Anyway, and their director Karen Moriyama from The Groundlings.
Just insane. And the thing that they do beyond just performing the movie, the black version of the movie that we all know well, is that they make it a musical.
They did about a 25-minute set for us at the Detroit Party, but we wanted you to be able to experience a little bit of this on the podcast. It was fully improvised. Here's their opening number, their opening musical number. This is completely and totally made up on the spot based on the suggestion of "You Punched Me in the Face."
Yes.
No, no, no.
No, you didn't.
Did you
see me?
Did you see me? I possibly have seen it.
I admit I used to be a hoe.
You used to be a hoe.
Till your love knocked me out like a TKO. A good bout, but your love punched me out.
Now I met this man named Buster.
Yes, you
just know that he must have known what he was doing. Sometime, yeah.
Love punch me out.
Your love punch me out.
It took me to places I had never been before.
It was a good bye.
I had to work off all that stress from work.
Love punch me out.
Drop something off and then I will hurt you.
That's love.
But that's because I love you, girl.
That's love.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'll knock you out once, twice, three times. It's gonna be a 10-round bout.
You'll
punch me out. You'll punch me out.
Your love
punch me.
That's the hilarious opening number, completely improvised.
Out of nowhere.
By the fantastic Black version. Next up, we've got Mary Beth Monroe. She was born and raised in Fraser, Michigan.
She attended Wayne State University. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She's a star of, she plays Alice on the Comedy Central series Workaholics.
Yes.
And is about to be in what sounds like a fantastic show on HBO called The Brink, starring alongside a newcomer named Tim Robbins, who I think might have a career.
She is performing at the Detroit party. She performed for us a character monologue where she played her mother, her Michigan mother, visiting her out of town.
Hello there. My name is Diane Winston, and I'm from St. Clair Shores, Michigan. And I am here in town visiting my daughter here in the big city, you know, in the Chicago. And, oh, geez, with socks to my knees, I just have no idea how I ended up in here. See, my daughter is an actress, and we came into town to see a play that she is a part of, a performance, if you will. And needless to say, it was not what I anticipated seeing. The show basically is three gals sitting up on stage, you know, with their socks and their shoes off, and they're wearing all black, like three little Elviras up there. Happy Halloween. And they do these monologues, well, about their in-betweens, about their downstairs, about their, you know, the crawl space under the house, so to speak. What's that? Oh, what's it called? Right. Well, the name of the show is The Vagina. Sorry, I just have a little hard time saying that word. The show's called The Vagina. Sorry, this is silly. I just gotta spit it out, okay? The show is called The Vagina Monologues. Oh my God, have you seen it? Well, Little Miss Muffet sitting on a tuffet, I don't think you should, okay? Because I swear, I have never been so uncomfortable during a performance in all my life. I mean, there she was, my little Miranda, going on and on about her vagina, pussy, muffin, boner cozy. I mean, I am sorry, but I do not think a lady should talk like that. Taco, tweenie, twat, Telly Savalas. I mean, I would rather have Jesus take a big dump in my mouth than say that word, okay? Well, I wanted to skedaddle out of there faster than two shakes of a lamb's tail, but I couldn't because, oh no, my Miranda just kept going on. Pretty soon she was doing a monologue about her most sacred of lady parts. She started doing a monologue about how I, her own mother, should learn how to play with my clitoris, fun button, turkey timer, Little Red Riding Hood. I mean, I'm sorry, but how dare you defile a nursery rhyme like that? I would rather have my tongue split into a little devil fork tongue and start raping babies than ever say that word, okay? It's true. Well, I got up, to try to get out of there. I wanted to be like Whoopi Goldberg and Jumpin' Jack Flash it straight out of that joint. But I couldn't, because she started yelling the most unthinkable, the most unspeakable, the most unbelievable word. She started yelling the word, cunt, 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 cunt. Cunt! Cunt! Say it! Cunt! 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 Everybody! Cunt! Okay, all right, Miranda, cunt! There, there, I said it, cunt! Look, you finally got your mom to say it. There's a cunt, here's a cunt, everywhere's a cunt, cunt! But you know what, Miranda, you... There, look at it, Miranda! There's your mother's cunt! There! You came out of this cunt! Look, cunty, cunty, cunt, cunt, cunt! Mother! Well, I don't really know what happened there. I just kind of flew into a unconscious rage. That's when they escorted me out of the theater. And that's when you arrested me, officer. I was not aware that full frontal nudity in an establishment that serves liquor is illegal in the city of the Chicago. I did not know that. But I do know that now. And I just have to say, I am so, so terribly sorry. And if you are kind enough to let me go today, I promise if I ever come back to the Chicago again, I will not show my cunt. Oh my God, I just said it.
That hilarious character monologue by Mary Beth Monroe is featured in Mary Beth's one-woman show, Horrible Women. Check that out if you get a chance. Next up is Paul F. Tompkins, fantastic stand-up comedian. And he's also the star of a podcast that he does with you, Mark Evan Jackson, called The Thrilling Adventure Hour, a huge hit podcast right now.
Now, I'm familiar with my being in The Thrilling Adventure Hour. Paul F. Tompkins.
Yeah,
Paul
no,
F-
he's, Paul he's, F. Tompkins. He stars in it with you.
Paul F. Tompkins.
Yeah.
Not familiar with his work.
Really?
I'm not a fan, but the audience really seemed to groove on him.
He's kind of a big star.
I don't see it.
Huh.
He's obviously enormously talented and a giant internet star with the Pod F. Tomcast, along with a million other things that he does. You know him well. Paul F. Tompkins is a good friend and a friend of the children in Detroit. He agreed to be a part of the Detroit party, and he asked us to introduce him as he was standing in a long red velvet cape with a collar made of ermine and wearing a top hat as Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, my darling colonials, it is I, Lord Andrew Lloyd Webber, Knight of the British Empire. In case you're not familiar with me, allow me to recite a bit of my CV, curriculum vitae, Latin. Perhaps you might know me as the composer of such award-winning Broadway musicals as Cats. Does that do anything for you? Oh, a few. Perhaps you've heard of a little fellow by the name of Jesus Christ Superstar. He usually gets the applause going. Oh, perhaps a New Testament, a bit too modern for you. Let's go way back to Joseph and the amazing dream coat. Thank you. Evita. Phantom of the Opera. everyone's favorite, Starlight Express. Thank you, I'm gratified. Gratified by your praise. For my musical about a number of trains played by people on roller skates. So many of them now dead due to roller skating related injuries. If Spider-Man had been there, he'd be saying, turn on the dark. People were injured in that show. Call back. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason I'm here on the stage treading the boards, can you imagine me on the stage? Usually I'm a behind the scenes chap. But now here I am, wearing my greasing paints and my fancy flounces. Not saying Macbeth. Why? Why? Oh, mighty Thespis, please. Pray do not strike me with a fright of stage. That's what actors are like. Honestly, are there any worse people on earth? Actors. I tried to do without them, you know. When I first did Cats, I tried to do it with actual cats. I thought surely there's some sort of Dr. Moreau type operation we could get these cats to talk. Well, the money was there, but the tech wasn't. So then I said, well, what are actors? They're just a bunch of big parrots. Cut out the middleman. We rounded up 80 African grey parrots. Taught them the entire book of lyrics. Well, the problem with parrots is it's very difficult to get them to say things in a sequence. They had all the lines down. They were off book. But none of the lines seem to relate to each other. It's very confusing. And the songs were a bit tuneless, if I'm honest. Plus, once they got a look at themselves in the mirror in the cat costumes, they were terrified. Good idea, in theory. But I'll tell you what makes me more angry even than actors, if you can imagine, is the idea of these so-called juking box musicals, wherein they take popular songs that everyone knows. They are tied together with a loose, flimsy story. And then the whole audience can sing along. Oh, I think I enjoyed that more when it was called Children's Theatre. The very idea. Yeah. My theatrical rage knows no bounds. And I thought, well, why don't I do one of those? Why don't I collect a bunch of songs together? And I thought, why don't I collect my own songs together, which everyone loves and knows? Tie them together with a flimsy story. Have all the characters from all my various musical endeavors meet one another on the stage, sing their songs that everyone knows. It'll be better than any juking box musical you can think of. My first idea, of course, before I got into my own work, was I thought of a jukebox musical called Happy Birthday, the Musical. And story would be 100 people share the same birthday. They discover it. Every 5 minutes, the song Happy Birthday is sung. Everyone gets to sing along. The advertising cannot miss. Come see Happy Birthday the Musical. It features 100 cakes. Then I thought, I'm not getting anything out of this. It's all going to those miserable old spinsters, Mildred and Patty Hill. It's a deep cut. It's time for me. Time for Lord Webber to get busied. And so, I'm workshopping it right now. Here's how it goes. Let's say we open on blank stage. It's ancient Judea. Also, there's an opera house there. Probably a ancient Judean opera house. Also, oversized garbage litters the landscape. A balcony for political speeches and of course, some train tracks. Enter! A lonely man. Is half his face covered by a mask? Oh, shucks, he says. How lonely it is to be a phantom of an opera when the form of opera hasn't even been invented yet. I'm going to cry out of my one good functioning eye. Then all of a sudden, this chap hears, meow. What the devil? A talking cat? What are you doing here? Well, I'm just waiting for a train, don't you know? And I couldn't help but overhear your sobbing. What say we collabo on a musical song together? What goes better than phantoms and cats? I could be your familiar. That sounds great. Then we hear, bless you both. They turn around. Whoa! The cat says, very startled. Meow! Jesus Christ, superstar! Why, you scared me out of 8 of my 9 lives! What are you doing here? Well, I came to save mankind from his sins, in a rock and roll fashion. So I'm just kind of waiting to be betrayed. What are you fellows up to? Well, we're all waiting for the train. Enter. Several lithe dancers on inline skates, wearing dance skins painted to look like the metal. They circle around our heroes, faster and faster and faster, wearing a groove into the stage. They all start singing in insane measure from every musical I've ever written, culminating in the large chandelier on the ceiling crashes down, killing everyone. There is a standing ovation because everyone is happy that actors are dead. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I'll see you up the street at the Pantages for a feature. Good night.
You know, I think I would have preferred Andrew Lloyd Webber, but that was Paul F. Tompkins appearing at the Detroit party. If you don't hate children, please give at www.detroitcreativityproject.org.
Next up, we've got Josh and Naima Funk performing a musical number for us. Naima Funk, you heard a little earlier, along with the black version. She's here now with her husband, Josh Funk. They were both on MTV's Wildin' Out. Naima's on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Nick Moms.
They've both been on Comedy Central's Key and Peele, and they're both Michiganders, both went to U of M. They've got a song for us.
We have one more song to do for you guys. We want everybody to go out and have a lovely evening. You know, we were in Detroit just a couple of weeks ago having some fun at the Planet Ann there in Hampton. And Detroit's looking good. Detroit's looking really good. They're getting better. They're getting better. And so this song is dedicated to Detroit. Please feel free to sing along and get up and groove.
It's getting redder all the time. I used to get mad in my school.
Now I can't complain.
The teachers had told me we're cool. Turning me around and filling me up with your rules. I got to admit, it's getting better, a little better all the time. Get to admit, it's getting better, a little better since you've been mine. We used to be angry, oh,
now I can't complain.
Hiding me head in the sand. that you love. Man, I was mean, but I'm changing my scene, and I'm doing the best that I can. I got to admit, it's getting better, a little better.
Josh and Naima Funk is fantastic. It is getting better in Detroit all the time. And we thank you for listening to this podcast and helping Detroit to get better all the time. We had a great time putting together this first annual Detroit party. If you want to see some pictures from the event, red carpet photos, photos of the performances before and after, check out laughonbehalf.com, facebook.com/laughonbehalf, and look for Laugh on Behalf on Twitter. And then, of course, there's the DCP.
The Detroit Creativity Project can be found at www.detroitcreativityproject.org, and we have a lot of good information there. We have a wonderful video produced to show you a little bit about what our programs are like, beginning with the improv program. In success, again, we want to be in elementary schools beyond the middle and high schools that we're in right now, and we want to branch out into other programs. We need your help to do that, so please do give www.detroitcreativityproject.org.
I want to thank everybody who helped to make the first annual Detroit party possible. It took a lot of people to pull off this very cool event.
It did.
Aaron Albertstein, Kara Lee Burke, Jason Eccles, Hal Soper, Carrie Ann Pieschnack, Kiff Vandenhuvel, Mike Targus, Justice Blaine Wainwright, Megan O'Brien, Jane Kinsey, Deanna Reasonover, Megan Grano, Andy Cobb, Mike Damascus, Charles Rice, Ellen Veenstra, Mark Kinlan. We had some great volunteers who helped us with the technical aspects of the live event. Joel Veenstra, Brandon Baruch, Jeff Thompson, Amanda Tate live on the floor helping us out that night. Gina Lohman, Lisa Curry, Kate Novak, Kirk Novak, Harlan and Ginny Moyer, Andra Whipple, Alex Backus, Beth Crosby, Rachel Romansky, who helped produce this event and did a tremendous amount in helping to make this happen. Beth Hagenlocker, one of the other co-founders of the Detroit Creativity Project.
Who?
Our other performers from that evening, the hilarious Jamie Moyer, fantastically funny Jessica Golden, Estella Detroit, who performed a wonderful burlesque act for us, Fred Willard and Fred Willard's Mohos, and I especially want to thank Phil Ranta and everyone here at the Comedy Podcast Network for hosting this Detroit Party Podcast. Thank you all for listening.
The second annual is up in the fall. Be looking for it.
Thanks, everyone.
You have received this transmission from the Comedy Podcast Network. For more shows, visit comedypodcastnetwork.com.